Hey, Bible nerds, this is Dr. Manny Arango, and I'm your host for the Bible Department podcast powered by Arma. This podcast follows a Bible reading plan we created to help you read the entire Bible in a year. You can head to the show notes or thebibledepartment.com to download our reading plan and join the journey. To all my fellow pastors, I've got a question for you. Does your city know that your church exists? Listen, I get it. You're preaching, you're leading, you're discipling, you're doing ministry. We are in the same boat. And let's be honest, social media and marketing, not your strong suit, not mine either. And that's probably the last thing on your mind. And that's why we chose to partner with Church Candy Marketing for our church plant, The Garden. We out here, y'all. They help churches get more actual guests walking through the doors on Sunday without you or I having to stress over ads or algorithms or trying to crack the social media code. Right now, Church Candy is helping nearly 400 churches reach their communities with simple invite ads, and it works. It's super effective. I can tell you from firsthand experience. So if you're tired of being your city's best kept secret, how about you do this? Go to churchcandy.com/Manny and book a free consultation, book a discovery call. Their team will break it all down and show you how to start seeing new faces at your church this Sunday. I'm in the trenches with you, trying to grow the church. And how about we just start a whole campaign? No more empty churches. So let's partner with Church Candy and get our churches full for the glory of Jesus. Let's go. We are covering 2 Peter, all of 2 Peter, and Jude. All right. I don't know why I had to say it that way, but I just feel like you got to say Jude. All right, I'm not going to do that the whole day. But I did not realize until I started studying how similar these books are. What happened is I love this scripture journal set that I have. It's kind of back there on the shelf somewhere. I think it's right there. Like, it's literally right there. It's in each book of the Bible kind of comes as an individual book. And I pulled this out, you know, to study, and it had 1st and 2nd Peter together with Jude, which made me kind of think to myself, that's, I don't know, that just seemed odd. Those books were together. And then I read 2nd Peter and I read Jude and I went, oh, not odd at all. Actually, it feels like Peter and Jude were in a room together when they wrote these books. And so we're going to go through 2nd Peter and Jude and hopefully kind of help you understand what's going on in both of these books. All right, before we go any further, hey, if you haven't done the reading for the day, just go ahead, stop this episode. Don't listen, mute me, go do the reading, read all of 2 Peter and read all of Jude. It won't take you long at all. Two very, very, very short books of the Bible and so similar, like eerily similar. I'm not saying that maybe Jude wrote both. I don't know. I don't know, guys. This one's throwing me a little bit because 2 Peter feels so different than 1 Peter. But here's the reality. And 1 Peter, the context of 1 Peter is that we have suffering amongst Christians throughout the Roman Empire. And so Peter's going to write a letter to them to encourage them to suffer well, to glorify Jesus, to conduct themselves in such a way as to not give any Romans any extra reasons to persecute them. Don't be persecuted because of sin, but be persecuted because you stood up for the gospel, okay? Beautiful book, great book. 2 Peter is really about doctrine, and there's false teachers in the church, all right? And what we're going to learn kind of early on is that Peter isn't simply going to address their teaching or their theology, but Peter is going to address their behavior. Now, in the Western world, there is a massive disconnect between orthodoxy, which is our beliefs, and orthopraxy, our behavior. Okay. But in the Eastern world, these things are like one and the same. Okay. If you act wrongly, if you behave wrongly, it's because you believe wrongly. And so Peter is realizing there are false teachers within these congregations, and Peter's not going to go word for word debating with their theology through this book, he's going to show that their behavior shows that their theology is wrong. There are three things that Peter is going to condemn within these false teachers. Number one, the first thing that's going to get condemned is an inability or unwillingness to condemn ungodliness and idolatry of their own culture, of Greco-Roman culture. Number two, desire for prestige, influence, privilege, power, and wealth. These false teachers are clearly false because look at the things that they are, that they've idolized. And then lastly, sexual immorality, which is really connected to power and prestige and wealth because in the first century, there are these things called guild feasts. Here's context clues, okay? Guild feasts. They were kind of, I learned this from Marty Solomon on the Bema podcast. These guild feasts are kind of this hybrid between a labor union and a college fraternity. And so you'd have like the silversmith guild and you'd have like the tent makers guild, or you'd have, you know, you'd have all these different guilds based on different occupations. There we go. And so they're like a labor union, but they have these like monthly parties, okay, where they're going to eat raw meat. And in eating the raw meat, they believe that the blood that they're ingesting is like the blood of the gods, okay? Because this meat has been sacrificed to idols. And then after the alcohol and the meat, prostitutes are going to be involved, and there's just going to be debauchery and sexual immorality. And if you're not taking part in these guild feasts, you may not be up for promotion, okay? This is a way to network with the people that you work with. Okay, so you can see how sexual immorality is very, very tied to prestige and influence and power and wealth in a very debauched society. And so these are the three things that Peter is going to, come against, that false teachers are leading people into these incorrect practices. And so what you're gonna see here is not a ripping apart of their argument. This is not a focus on orthodoxy. This is going to be a focus on orthopraxy. So let me take you to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, I'll just kind of read. It's kind of the meat of the book. I'll read some to you. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality. Whoa, following sensuality, that has nothing to do with false teaching, but it's the fruit of false teaching. If you listen to false teaching, these behaviors are going to be present. So by attacking orthopraxy, Peter's actually attacking orthodoxy, because these are not separated things in Peter's world, even though those are separated things in our current world. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Whoa, greed? That's not dogma. That's not doctrine. No, it's behavior. And that behavior says something about what they actually believe. And doesn't matter what they believe, their behavior is proving that whatever it is that they believe, it's leading to something in life that is not positive. The condemnation from long ago is not idle, and the destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserve Noah, all the way down to verse 11, bold and willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. Whereas angels, though greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against them before the Lord, but these, like irrational animals, okay, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about manners which they are ignorant will also be destroyed in their destruction. Suffering wrong as they wage for the wrongdoing, they count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are blots and blemishes. You see how Peter's argument here almost doesn't have anything to do with what they believe. It's hard to even put together what these false teachers believe. But one thing is clear, they believe in lining their pockets for profit. They believe in sexual immoral practice. And they believe that the ungodliness and the idolatry of their own culture is okay. There's a blind spot when it comes to the ungodliness and the idolatry that's present within the wider Greco-Roman world. And so for Peter, he doesn't rip apart their argument. He doesn't argue, really. He just says, look at this behavior. This behavior should tell you everything that you need to know, which is a very Eastern way to think about things. Now, if you look at 2 Peter and Jude, you have the exact same scenario. There are false teachers, okay? And if you open up the very, very beginning of Jude, by the way, Jude is a half-brother to Jesus. And I love the first line, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Well, James, the brother of Jesus, that also makes you the brother of Jesus. But you could just hear Jude's humility in this. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who prevent the grace of God, who pervert the grace of God into sensuality and deny our only master and Lord Jesus Christ. So Jude is going to start with the same exact problem. Hey, there are false teachers amongst you. Now it's going to get crazy because the three issues that Jude is going to talk about are the exact same three issues. And both 2 Peter and Jude are going to mention angels. Both 2 Peter and Jude are going to mention Sodom and Gomorrah. Both 2 Peter and Jude are going to talk about Balaam and his donkey, okay? Both 2 Peter and Jude are going to talk about Lot. Both 2 Peter and Jude, they're going to use the exact same Old Testament symbols and images. So these books are both also relying heavily on the Apocrypha, okay? That's kind of the nerdy nugget, okay, for the day, is that both of these books really, they only make sense if you understand what's happening in the Apocrypha. I'll actually read you a tiny little section of Jude, which only makes sense, okay, if you are familiar with the Apocrypha. It says this in verse 9, but when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to announce a blasphemous judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. What are we talking about? Well, this is a reference to First Enoch, okay? Or One Enoch, and another apocryphal book called The Assumption of Moses. So, what does that mean? It means that Jude and Peter are familiar with books like First Enoch, okay? And probably would say that books like First Enoch have truth. Now, I don't think that those books need to be entered into the canon of scripture, but it's clear that the authors of the New Testament were familiar with the apocryphal books and clearly got understanding and answers from the apocryphal books. So that's our nerdy nugget for the day. And both 2 Peter and Jude are clearly referencing some kind of apocryphal teaching found in Enoch and the Assumption of Moses. Bible nerds, I have an announcement. My brand new book, Crushing Chaos, releases May of 2025 and pre-orders are officially open. When I began to learn Genesis in its proper context, I learned that the creation account is not primarily about God creating something out of nothing, but rather God bringing divine order to the chaos of the cosmos. That one nugget was a game changer for me because I've been preaching to all the kids in my youth group that peace was a solution for their anxiety. But really, God's solution to chaos is never peace, but rather order. Peace isn't something that you stumble into. It's something that you intentionally step into. And that starts with aligning your life with God's order. I think that this book is a game changer. It's nerdy, it's practical, it provides a very contextual understanding of the book of Genesis, and if you grab a copy, you'll learn why there's a huge dragon on the cover. Head to the link in the show notes to pre-order, or head to crushingchaos.com to see the really dope trailer that we made for this book. I think it's time for you to crush the chaos in your life, and that starts with grabbing a copy of this book. Now, back to the podcast. Okay, next thing, our Thomas Truth for the day. 2 Peter 3:15, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. So, hey, people are going to twist scripture out of context and make scripture mean something that it's not designed to mean. I think that what Peter is getting at here in 2 Peter is clearly these false teachers are promoting a licentious lifestyle. And there's a lot of scholars who believe that they are taking what Paul has to say about grace and completely abusing what Paul has to say about grace. And now Peter is going, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, how dare you take my writings or Paul's writings to make you think that you could sin and that you're not going to be held accountable for your actions. And so 2 Peter and Jude are both going to go, this is what it says in chapter 2, verse 4, 2 Peter, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah when he brought a flood upon the whole world, if by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued righteous Lot, essentially, why would God not bring judgment now? The whole Old Testament is a story of God bringing judgment on unrighteousness. And so how dare you twist Paul's words? This is like Peter stepping up. Like, how dare you twist Paul's words to make Paul be extend the bounds of grace beyond what is biblical or orthodox? There's one other thing that I wanted to highlight. Verse 19 of chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. This is our timeless truth for the day. I think that we're going to always have to remember that the Christian definition of freedom is radically different than anybody else's definition of freedom. So these false teachers are going around saying, look, we're free. Like, we're practicing sexual immorality. We're wealthy. Like, we're living the good life, you know? We're free. That this is how we are platforming and displaying our freedom. And this is what Peter has to say in response to that. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. So if lust overcomes you, then that's what you're a slave to. If anger overcomes you, then that's what you're a slave to. Whatever overcomes a person, that's what they are enslaved by. And so he's saying, well, the proof of their life is that they're slaves. Why would you believe these people who are telling you that they're free when they're slaves to sin? They're slaves to the pleasures of sin. Aren't you wiser than that? And no lie, Jude and 2 Peter have a very similar language, very similar thrust, very similar theme. I totally understand why these books belong together in this little booklet. And I feel like in the New Testament, like, that's just not, Jude is not anywhere near Peter in like. And I'm going straight to my table of contents back here. Yeah, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and then Revelation. So on our Bible reading plan, we've now put Jude kind of thematically where it belongs a little bit better, up with 2nd Peter. So, all right, that's 2nd Peter and the book of Jude. I am so proud of you. And tomorrow we jump into Matthew's gospel. We just got out of Mark, but we're going straight back into the gospels again. We got Matthew's gospel, and I ain't got favorites, but Matthew's definitely one of my favorites. And so I'll see you right here tomorrow as we dive headfirst into the book of Matthew. Love you guys. So proud of you. Peace. Thanks so much for joining us on the Bible Department Podcast. You can find us online and learn more about the show at thebibledepartment.com and on Instagram at The Bible Department. If you enjoyed this episode and want to dive deeper into the Bible, you can get free access to our library of courses at thebibledepartment.com. We'll see you back here tomorrow.